Hi, this is Harold. Welcome to Transformation's weekly message and podcast. I'm glad you are making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end of today's message, but for now, let's see what God wants to teach us. May God bless your hearing, understanding, and application of God's word and message.
Well, good morning, church. Great to see everybody. And we are in our second week of our message series titled Insurgents, Reclaiming the Gospel of the Kingdom. Some of you are in our small group fall growth campaign online on Zoom. And some of you are just reading a book. If you haven't got the book, I would encourage you to get it. Get it on Kindle, get it on Apple, or get the physical book and dive into it. Short chapters, easy to read, but really powerful take on the gospel of the kingdom, and that's where we're at. So last week we started the sermon series Insurgents, and we discussed the kingdom of God, and we really dove into that. What does that mean? What does that look like? And we saw that the kingdom is not just a place, but it's a future. It's a future tense event, but a present reality. So it's salvation, and the kingdom is past, present, and future. So it's all three in one. It's not just something that, it's not a pie in the sky thing. We die and we enter the kingdom of heaven and we go to heaven. But it's here, it's now, and it's present. And this is where God reigns as king in the hearts of his people. And so we really establish that Jesus is not just a savior, but he's our king. And we just got done singing to the king as well. We explored how the kingdom is just not, again, not about personal salvation, but God's rule over all of creation, everything, calling us to live under his lordship and join his revolution, if you would, of love and justice in the world. And Jesus is not merely a savior, but he is our king. Amen. So that's really what we dove into last week. Today we're going to move into session two, where we're going to dive deeper into what it means to be part of the kingdom, how it transforms our lives, and how the role in advancing the kingdom of insurgents is upon us now. And it's really our purpose, if we had to define a purpose for being a Jesus-centered follower, following a Jesus-looking God, this would be it, is to help advance the kingdom of God right now. And it's challenging because you look in this world, it's a very broken world, and it's it can be overwhelming, especially when you look at the polarization of the world, the political divide in our world, and you may have friends and family and coworkers and neighbors that are all over the spectrum. Some are really deep down in the weeds of that stuff, and they're hating each other, and they're all panicking and worrying that civil war is going to break out, and they're just going crazy. And then you got this hurricane on top of it, and people are distraught. And you look at that. I got some great friends who lost everything there. I mean, everything. One of my buddies is an artist there, and somebody just sent him a huge kit of art supplies to replenish his art supplies. He was so grateful to get that and to be able to dive back into that. But, I mean, you know, if you never lost everything like that in one big storm, it'll test your faith, right? You know, Christians are like tea bags. You don't know what they're made of until you put them in hot water. And it's just people finding out what they're made of, because it's devastating down there. And it'll be that way for a long time. And very few of them have flood insurance. So most of them are just don't have anything. Hopefully the government will compensate them somehow, but it's not going to be full replacement costs, or they're going to be fully indemnified for their losses. So really a tragic thing to think about. But our first point I want to hit today is the kingdom is counterculture to a radical way of life. It's a radical way to live. It's counterculture to what you live out there. And this is the mindset we should have as living a Jesus-centered life, that we're going to bounce up against everything if we're really trying to follow Jesus. Even today, we're going to run up against it, and it's okay. You know, it isn't that we're arrogant, that we're self-righteous, that we're in people's face, that we're yelling at them with bullhorns or telling them how morons they are, because we're all lost, we're all broken people. And if we're on this path, give praise to God. But it's to be an attraction. It's to be an invitational to, hey, there's a better way to live. You don't have to be sucked into all that stuff. You don't have to, you know, unplug your TV for a while, unplug your computer for a while, you know, just come back in and get centered on what it means to live a life of love and service in your life. And this is really what it's talking about in this scripture here, Romans 12, 2. Don't copy the behavior of the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. The problem centers in the mind. The Bible says we got to renew the mind, right? Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Amen? So what is God's will? You want to learn it? Well, it's written down. It's in Scripture, so it isn't like it's hidden from you. But if you want to get it embedded into your brain, if you want it branded into your brain and your psyche where it becomes the dominant operating system in your life, then you're going to have to spend time in God's Word and try to really practice this way of life. The world offers us a fast living focus, right, of just self-preservation, self-promotion, and self-gratification. It's what drives American culture. It drives us. And if we're all honest, it's what drives us. Sometimes we wake up in the morning, and this is a radio station dashboard. The radio station's on WIIFM. What's in it for me, right? It's just there. We don't ask for it. It's just there. You know, and the mind's going and thinking about ourselves. And we got a choice. We can either crank that up and really get into what's in it for me today. And I can go out and demand a lot from the people, places, and things I'm going to encounter that day. Or I can get on my knees and try to divorce myself from that through prayer, through meditation, through reading, through podcasts, through talking to people. Lots of ways to get out of myself and shift that thinking. But it's my responsibility to do that. And Jesus calls us to live radically different than that. You know, he calls us to a bigger purpose. And the kingdom of God flips the script, if you would, in our lives. And it's challenging if you're not all the way in. If you're not all the way in, you're never really going to do it anyway, I can promise you. But if you're all the way in, and you're just like, you know, I'm going to live this Jesus-centered life, in the kingdom of the last are first, and the meek inherit the earth, and those who mourn are comforted. So you're living a life of humility, self-sacrifice, other-centeredness, and you're out there trying to love everybody, including your enemies. That's your operating system. I mean, if you had to summarize the kingdom life, that's it. Those are the four main things that you need to focus on. Am I being humble? Am I being self-sacrificing? Am I other-centered? And am I really trying to love everybody? And I mean everybody, even my enemies. And if I'm trying to really put that into play, my life's going to be radically changed. My thinking's going to be radically changed. I'm not going to be the same person. I'm going to change. Despite myself, I'll change. And I may not see it in myself at first, but the people around me will sure see it. And they'll tell you, man, there's something going on with you, brother. I don't know, you're glowing. You're different. Your talent sound different. You're acting different. Whatever it is, keep doing it. It's beautiful, right? And that's the kind of life we want to have. And we never want that kind of growth to stop. If you think about a river flowing in one direction, right? This is the world's way. It's going one way. I remember when I was young and my craziness, I had people tell me, Harold, there's streets named after you. They're called one way, you know, because I was just so locked into my deal. But if you think about a river running one way and we enter the kingdom of God, it's like trying to swim against the current. You're trying to swim the other way. I don't know if you ever tried to paddle upstream. Not easy to do that. But that's kind of how living a Jesus-centered life's like in our culture today. It can feel exhausting because you're just thrown into a lot of areas, you know, with a lot of broken people. And broken people do broken things and hurt people. So it wears you out sometimes. It just wears you out. But it's what we're called to do, is swim against that. I love this quote by Moody. Look at this quote. It's really a good quote. A ship lives in the water, but if the water gets into the ship, it sinks, end quote. Think about it. I love that. I mean, that's talking about the world. So Jesus says, go be in the world, but don't be of it. That's just another way of saying that. You know, and that's a good visual to think about. Is the world system into my life? Tony Campolo says this, the kingdom of God is not going to arrive on Air Force One, end quote, right? It's not going to just show up and go, hey, here it is, come live the good life. No, you got to go out and make it happen. This quote reminds us that the kingdom of God doesn't align with worldly power structures, the principalities and powers you read in Romans that Paul refers to. He's not talking about Satan and the devil. He's talking about the principalities and powers of the world that will get in your face, rules, regulations, people trying to dominate you, right? It's these ideologies. It's about the reign of Christ in our hearts, reshaping how we engage the world. And it's a process that will go on for the rest of our lives. But where are you at in the process? But know that there is a process, and my job as a kingdom follower, as a kingdom person, is to be in that process. Really important, I think. Next point, the kingdom demands allegiance, a new master. So it's not a wishy-washy thing. It's not something I can just do part-time or casual, or I can dip my toe in it. No, it's, you know, I live in the kingdom and I visit the world. I don't go live in the world and try to visit the kingdom. It's impossible to do that. And we have lots of scriptures to frame that. But Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. So he's just contrasting God and money. But just think about power, glory, prestige, period. You can't serve both of those people, right? Jesus is clear that the kingdom, it requires total allegiance. We cannot serve both. And let's be honest, it's hard. It's a hard teaching. It truly is a hard teaching. A lot of Jesus' teachings are hard. Our lives are full of all kinds of competing loyalties. Whether it's social media, it's the Kansas City Chiefs, it's the Cardinals, it's our job, it's our families, it's our kids' sports, whatever. I mean, that's just the hard reality. There's lots of stuff that demands our time, our energy. And it's hard, it's easy to get lost in that. And we give up independence when we do. And that's what we're called to do, is to do that. Our lives are full of these things. But being part of the kingdom means only one king, and that's Jesus. So I'm not lost in the politics of the world. People, you know, I'll never tell you how to vote. I'm never telling you how to vote. I'll never tell you how I vote, because it doesn't matter. I'm not qualified to tell you how to vote. But whatever that looks like for you, great. But it's not my higher power. Donald Trump or Vice President Kamala Harris are not going to change my life that much. I might have a higher inflation rate or a lower this or a lower that, or groceries might be a little bit, but it's not going to change my life. I've lived 60 years through a lot of different people. I'm still here. I'm still kicking. I'm still breathing. I've been here when taxes were high, when they were low, all that stuff. And none of that stuff changes the kingdom. None of that changes my operating system and how I'm supposed to live my life. So, but I vote because it's a privilege and it's a right, but it's not what directs my life. So people go, like, you care? Yeah, I care, but I care more about the kingdom. I care more about trying to usher in the kingdom of God than I care about that stuff. By far. It's not even a close second. So I don't get lost in all that stuff. And I hope you don't either. But if you are, this scripture is really going to press you on that. So it's really important, I think, to think about that. Imagine a soldier, some of you served in the military, but somebody who's trying to be in the military but also be a civilian at the same time. So you're going to try to live this dual life. It wouldn't work out. The soldier would have to follow the orders of his commanding officer. In the same way, when you join the kingdom of God and you start following a Jesus-looking God and living a Jesus-centered life, and we give up independence and we submit to the rule. So if you're in the service, you're in the service. And you're going to be expected to live a certain way. Our lives are no longer our own. They belong to Him. And is that really where your life is when it comes to Jesus? It's a great question. Martin Luther King had this quote: if a man has not discovered something that he will die for, he isn't fit to live, end quote. That's a pretty tough quote, but it's really important to show that there's real purpose for your life, so you know what it is. Mark Twain, what was it he said? He goes, there's two greatest days in your life: the day you were born and the day you figure out why. You know? And so this is why. Jesus is telling you why. You're called to live a Jesus-centered life and live in the kingdom. The kingdom is already here. And our mission is as ambassadors for the kingdom. So that's a delusional mindset sometimes in the Christian realm and the spiritual realm, that it's something that's going to happen in the future. You know, and so we're just trying to do the best we can here, but when we die, it's when it's all going to go down. It's when the concert's going to start. It's when the team's going to get on the field. No, it's here. It's already here. And our job is to help usher it along a little bit. You know, just a little bit at a time. If I blew up a balloon, even just a little bit, it puts a little bit of air, it expands the kingdom. Just think about that illustration when you're thinking about expanding the kingdom. It's important, I think, to think that way. Luke chapter 17, verses 20 through 21, the coming of the kingdom. And listen to what he says. This is Jesus. One day the Pharisees asked Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, here it is, or it's over there. For the kingdom of God is already among you. Amen? I mean, think about that. That is really powerful. The kingdom of God is not something we're waiting for. It's already here. Where is it at? Well, it starts deep down inside you. And it definitely affects your mind. You think of the soul. If you had to break down the soul, it's your mind, your body, and your spirit. And that's what makes up your soul. And God's already present in all those things in our lives. And so we got to honor that and think about that. It's not something we're waiting for. And it's breaking into our world right now. And we see it in different places. Monica mentioned some of the kingdom stuff that's going on with the hurricane victims, right? But it's everywhere in our lives, and we're supposed to participate. We're supposed to bring the kingdom of God. So you can think about it this way. Everywhere I go, in my house, my little house with my black lab and my bride Susie, or my work culture or my neighborhood or my church community or wherever I'm at, my job is try to create an environment where the kingdom can happen, where kingdom, where spirituality can happen, where kingdom people can have a kingdom experience. They can see it. My job is to love you strong enough that you know God is real. Right? Think about that with your spouses, that we love our spouses, we love our partners strong enough that they know God's real, just by the way you love them. You see that with Charlotte and George, deep, big time. A man that will carry a woman's purse that does not match his shirt is definitely devoted, man. I mean, there's no doubt about it, all the way in. So God bless you, George, for being a great example for us, right? But think of an embassy. We have embassies all around the world. But those embassies operate in such a way that even though there's a foreign government, there's foreign soil, inside that embassy is like our home country. It's like that's America going on wherever that's at. And as followers of Jesus, we are like God's embassy here on earth. We're supposed to be that. We live in the world, but we represent the values and the kingdom of God, the priorities of the kingdom. That's what we're about. John Wesley said this: the world is my parish. Everywhere I go, this is where I'm supposed to love, where I'm supposed to serve, what I'm supposed to do. And this, I think this quote captures the heart of our mission. Wherever we go, we carry the kingdom of God with us, starting in our own house, even with our pets, with our spouses and our partners, for sure, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers. And God calls us to bring this transformative power into every corner of the earth. That's what it's about. Are people having a spiritual transformation experience? Are they being influenced? Are people coming closer to God or further away by encountering and working and walking with me? And that's really the ultimate question. So the things we need to think about as we walk away from this message today. Countercultural living is what we're up against. That the kingdom of God calls us to live differently from the world, rejecting its values and adopting Christ's values, Jesus' values. That's what it's asking us to do. Am I doing it? Can I inventory that? Is my life reflect that? If not, what needs to change? And what can I do starting today that's going to make a difference in how that turns out in my life? And there's lots I can be doing. Number two, total allegiance to Jesus. We must fully commit to the King and his cause, leaving and competing loyalties behind. Doesn't mean I can't enjoy it. Doesn't mean I can't be a Chiefs fan, right? It doesn't. But I'm not going to sit here and do this all day. Follow the Chiefs, baby. It will change your life. You know, you'll never be the same. The dark days are past. Follow the Chiefs. That's never going to be my life. Do I root for the Chiefs? You bet. Huge Chiefs fan. But I'm all about living a Jesus-centered life and following a Jesus-looking God. Period. That's always been number one in my life. And that's the commitment that Jesus is asking us to make. Does your life reflect that? And if not, what can you do starting today to better make that happen? And lastly, we're living as ambassadors, and the kingdom is already here. So it's not a future tense thing. It's right now, and we are God's representatives, charged with showing the world what life under his rule looks like. You're either a weak link or you're a strong link in the spirit of transformation. So what kind of link are you? And that's a reflection of the fruit from your tree, how you're living your life. And so we always got to be inventory. We always got to shine the spotlight of truth in our life and be looking at what needs to be changed to me, because that's all I got to control. I can't change you, but I can definitely change what's going on with me, what I read, what I watch, who I hang around. All those things influence everything I'm doing. And so I'm in charge of that. So that's what we want to take out of here today, is what it means to live in the kingdom, that it's already here, and I have a job description. It's clearly marked out, and my job is just to work hard, to work honest, and work smart, trying to employ those principles in my life. And if I do that, I'm going to have a pretty amazing life, really. I'm just going to be an incredible run. Doesn't mean it won't be hard. Doesn't mean it won't be in friction with the world system, but it will be a beautiful way to live, and it has been for a long time. So encourage you to get on board with this insurgence and reclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today with hearts open to your kingdom and your reign in our lives. And we confess the times we've tried to serve two masters and pursue the things of this world instead of your ways. Help us to live counterculturally, swimming against the current of this world, entirely loyal to you and you alone. Let your kingdom come into our hearts, families and communities. Equip us to be ambassadors of your grace, love, and truth, carrying the light of your kingdom into the darkest places. We ask this in the name of our King, Jesus Christ. All God's people said, amen.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know more about us, we are Transformation Church. We are a church for people who aren't in the church. We are a Jesus-centered community made up of everyday people just like you. We refer to ourselves as Transformers, committed to helping God change the world. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. at our House Springs campus. We are moving and launching a new campus soon in Eureka, Missouri, scheduled to launch on April 6, 2025. And we would love for you to join us and be a part of this Jesus revolution. We also meet during the week in smaller groups called house churches, and that's how we make it relational. We regularly hear from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, Vimeo, YouTube, and TikTok. You can also download our app for free and for fun from your favorite app store. You can find the download link in the show notes or on our website at www.transformerforlife.org. That's www.transformer4life.org. Inside our app or on our website, you can access all our available audio and video teachings and view and download our bulletin, sermon notes, slides, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. Lastly, if you want to learn more about supporting Transformation Church with your time, talent, and finances, and what it takes to become a transformer, please visit our website. God loves generous people, and so do we. So a gift of any amount of your time, talent, and finances is much appreciated. Hey, thanks for being a member of our extended Jesus-centered community. I'm glad we are on this journey together, walking shoulder to shoulder, helping people experience a Jesus-centered life and discovering the kingdom of God.